favorite chapter in the Bible was Psalm 145. Well, that got my attention. I thought a guy's been shut up in a little room for a year, and that's his favorite Bible passage. Then I want to explore into that. And I got to tell you, over the course of time, it has become one of my favorite chapters in the Bible, Psalm 145. I love teenagers. I really do. I enjoy being around young people. The reason I love them is because nobody else does. So somebody's going to have that job in life. But I want to help you because you're going to leave here tonight. We said so. You're going to leave here tonight. You're going to get out of here. You're going to go on down the road. But it'll be over. Brother Matt and I were talking last night, and you know, you kind of hate for it to end, but then you really don't hate for it to end. And I'm going to teach you, we'll narrow it down to one word, because I know you're tired. To try to remember two words would be too much this morning. But I'm going to teach you how it works. And I think I get this thing about youth conference and different meetings, and I've thought it through a little bit. My mom taught us to think. Think. Now, most people don't think. I mean, really, you don't think. You do this, you do that, you do that, and you don't do a lot of thinking. Okay? So, one of the troubles of our generation is our country doesn't think much, and everybody else does the thinking for you. We're more pleasure oriented than we ever have been. When I was a kid, if you got a toy, you didn't get a lot, okay? And we're the generation that taught everybody else to like a box. The box you got the toy in was probably more fun because you could use it more. You'll discard the toy, but the box is a whole lot of fun. It can be a volcano. You can get down in it and explode out of it. And I still do that every once in a while when things aren't too exciting around here. But read with me, if you would, a couple of these verses. Psalm 145, verse 1 says, I extol thee, my God, O King, and I will bless thy name forever and ever. Verse 2 says, every day will I bless thee, and I will praise thy name forever and ever. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. And his greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall praise thy works to another, and shall declare thy mighty acts. Let me just read a couple of these verses, just because I like them. Verse 8 says, the Lord is gracious. He is gracious. He is inviting. All years ago, I had a lady in our church. She passed away, but she was the most short lady, a little short lady. She liked to go out at night and ride the slip and slide, and she was always smiling. She was just seventh grade. But every time my wife and I went by to visit them, she always, I'm not talking about most of the time, always had us come in. If she didn't have something cooked, she always would get up and start cooking. Every single time. She was a gracious, gracious lady. God is a gracious God. I like in verse 8 where it says he's full of compassion. He's full of compassion. You know what? You and I all could take a 5-gallon bucket and go out to the ocean. Now, I don't say beach because you start picturing everybody stripped down naked. And I'm afraid if I ever say beach, people start thinking of me in a Speedo bathing suit and start throwing up at the same time. But I've been out to the ocean, and I look like this when I go out the ocean. Well, maybe not totally. But you could take that 5-gallon bucket, every one of us could take a scoop and go over to the other side of the road and throw it out and go back and do it again all day long. And at the end of the day, guess what? That ocean would still be full. You know what? You can go to God, and God never runs out of compassion. I said, God never runs out of compassion. Now, you know what? You better thank God. God is God, and God is not some man. You really better thank God that God's God and he's not some woman. Okay, because we'd all be gone a long time ago. And when I was in high school, when you got your senior high ring, you'd turn it upside down and you'd go around the hall and pop the little twerpy kids on top of the head just to let them know you had a ring. I'd do that if I was God. I'd be popping people on the head left and right. I ask this, if I pass away before the Lord Jesus Christ comes, first of all, I'll be shocked. But second of all, if I do, I'm asking God if I could work in the lightning bolt department so I could hurl some at you just every once in a while just to remember that you're not forgotten about. God says he's full of compassion. He is slow to anger. Are you slow to anger? Boy, I have a pretty quick fuse every once in a while. And of great mercy, the Lord is good to all. All. Isn't that good to know? I mean, somebody in here, you've been a rat for the last year, and God's still good to you. God still lets the heathen breathe the air, does he not? He still lets the heathen drink the water, does he not? He still lets the heathen enjoy the blessings that has happened because of creation. God lets the heathen who deny and say, I'm an atheist, he still lets them enjoy the sunshine and the sunrise and the sunset, does he not? What a good God that we serve. God is good, and his tender mercies are over all his works. Verse 14 says, the Lord upholdeth all that fall, and raiseth up all that be bowed down. Oh, I love verse 16. Thou openest thine hand and satisfiest the desire of every living thing. Please listen to me. I used to think God was a tight-fisted God. And boy, you had in prayer, really had to work at prying his hand open and prying his hand open and prying his hand open and prying his hand open to finally, maybe while you got his hand open just for a minute, maybe something would fall down to me in answer to prayer. But according to the Bible, God's an open-handed God. Amen. I mean, it's easy to get to. I mean, it's right there. The difficult thing in life as far as getting your prayers answered is God has to deal with mankind. And we're all a little hard-headed, are we not? We're all a little slow. Some people on this side a whole lot slower than the other people. But we're all a little slow, are we not? We're easy to respond to God. So when God's trying to answer prayer, it's a little difficult for God to get the answer to you. Maybe you're praying for $100 and he's asking Brother Jason to let loose of that $100. And he's thinking, no way, Jose, my wife would kill me if I ever gave that $100 bill away. Especially if I bought a McBob a circus or something like that. She'd be huffing and a puffing left and right, huh? But you know what? So maybe he's thinking, well, maybe I could ease up with $20 and she'd be okay with that. Well, God's got to get $80 more from someplace else, does he not? Huh? So he goes to some teenagers. Says, forget that. They'll never give anything. Huh? So he goes to some people who are retired and they live on a fixed income. And they think, I can't do that. I live on a fixed income. I don't know about you. Sometimes I'd like to live on a fixed income because mine is very unfixed. If God doesn't answer prayer, I'm in a heap of trouble. Brother Watkins, I know you know. If God doesn't show up, you're in a heap of trouble. You know, regular paycheck is regular as whenever it shows up, huh? And I'm saying, see, you and I, we've got to understand God's a good God. And he's an open-handed God, and he wants to take care of you. I want to talk to you, though, verse number 2. The very first words are every day. Every day. Now, like I say, because we're not real complex people this time of the morning, we're just going to tie it into one word and just say every day. Every day. I'd like to talk with you about that. Heavenly Father, bless. And dear God, please have your way and your will in our life. Lord God, thank you for the spirit, Lord God, of these folks. And Lord, I know it comes from their church family and Lord, from their preachers. And dear God, I pray and bless the youth directors, all the involvement it takes to keep our spirit right. Help us, Lord God, this morning. I mean to please you. Help us now, Lord, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. When I was in high school, I hate to tell you this, junior year, I goofed off. Man alive. I had a teacher, thank God, she was 180 years old in my English class, and I got away with murder and still made a B in that class. The next year was a freaky thing. I had some lady just graduated from one of the state universities and in the master's program, and she walked in the very first day and she said, my job is to get you ready for college. Thinking we are in the wrong room. Oh, if I'd only failed English, I'd still be with that other gal back there. And that was a whole lot easier. She found out she had a tough chore to get us ready for college. Huh? She's still working at getting us ready for college, I'm telling you. But I didn't study as hard as I should have. So now I have to study a little bit harder. Some things maybe I hadn't thought about when I was a younger guy, I had to start thinking about and had to look into the Bible and pry there and then pry around in some dictionary sometime and just learn a little deeper things about the Word of God. The word every means each. The word every means ever. The word every means each individual. The word ever, when you look it up, ever means at all times, at all times. When you see in the word verse, when you see in verse 2, the word every, it's got in it, it root comes from ever. Ever means at all times. Ever means always. Ever means continually. See, I am supposed to praise God. I'm supposed to bless God at all times. That's what I'm supposed to do. See, the Christian life, I remember Dr. Howell saying forever ago when I was a young Christian, he said the Christian life is a way of life. Now, that was different to me. See, when I grew up in church, we went to church, you did your church thing, and then it was all over. You forgot about it for a whole week. You didn't think about God. I'd never heard the word hell outside in the parking lot when somebody was sharing the word hell with somebody else and telling them perhaps to go there. Maybe I've shared this here before, but I was soul winning one time, and a guy just got real flustered with me, and he said, why don't you just go to hell? I looked at him. I said, sir, I know that would make you awful, awful happy. And I said, but it's impossible. I've been saved. I've been born again. And because of that, I'm going to heaven. I'd like to please you just to make you happy, but it's impossible. I can't go to hell. You've been born again? Aren't you glad? You cannot go to hell. And thank God for it. Thank God. You and I know when I get to heaven, I'm still going to be shocked, but I'm sure that I'm going to go to heaven because that's what the Word of God has to say. God is saying here, every day will I bless thee. He says and goes on in verse 2, and he says, I will praise thy name forever, at all times, continually, always, and ever, at all times, always, and continually. Now and again. See, I understand, I believe youth conference. Brother Tom, if I could have this right here, please. See, I understand. I think we have a good spirit when we come here together. But I understand this. I understand it's a Brother Frazier who preaches every single week. And I know you have a fervor for soul winning, and you want to win people to Christ. See, you and I, we could not just go out there and get a number of teenagers come in this room who've not walked with God or heard a godly man preach, who's not heard a Brother Watkins stay at the stuff and stay faithful to God. And no wonder you stay faithful to God, because you hang around people who stay faithful to God. See, every Sunday morning, you have somebody you're looking at who does not quit. Now, they want to quit, and they feel like quit. And they feel like quitting more often and more often and more often. But thank God they do not quit. And you get to watch something like that. And then we have a preacher that comes to town who is the same way, who has been challenged for some 30 or 40 years of his life to toss in the towel and compromise and be like all the other teenagers. But instead, he's decided, no, I'm going to stand for God. And I'm going to be faithful for God. And in this day, in this generation, where preacher after preacher compromises and blends in and brings in the worldly music and brings in the swaying back and forth and 7-Eleven songs. Same seven words 11 times over and over and over again. See, they don't quit and they don't compromise. And that's what allows us to have a youth conference. And that's what allows that God can work in a room, because we didn't just go get anybody. You showed up from churches where your preacher lives it every day. You've come from some families where they live it every day. You've gone and you've watched Brother Ruck do it every day. You watch Brother Cody Frazier do it every day and stay faithful and stay faithful and stay faithful and stay faithful and stay faithful. See, some of you are going to blow it. See, some of you just come for youth conference. I have people in my own church. They're just going to show up for youth conference and they're going to wonder what happened. And our church will look boring. And what's wrong with this church? And we're the same people. same people. We have the same music all the time. We have the same choir that walks in and the same kind of special music. There's nothing new. It's the same thing, but they don't come back for that, and they wonder what's wrong in their life, and then sometimes they even say, what's wrong with the church? There's nothing wrong with the church. There's something wrong with you that you don't get it. It is every day. It's every day when you feel good. I want you to reason with me just for a minute. What is something you do every day? How many of you sleep every day? Some of you are too asleep right now to raise your hand. How many of you eat every day? This is real iffy right here. How many of you shower and bathe every day? Be honest, it's summer, guys. I understand it. I love it. People say, you get out there, someone and say, yeah, I used to go to church. My mom and dad made me go to church. They drug me to church. I say, yeah, your mom and dad, they probably made you brush your teeth too. Your mom and dad probably made you wash too. Your mom and dad probably made you get the dirt from out under your fingernails too. So what's your point? Some of you, if your mom and dad didn't make you take a bath, you'd still have that ring of dirt around your neck from when you were 4 years old. Huh? Some of you, if you took your shoes off right now, you still have dirt from last year on your toes. If we saw the bottom of your feet, we'd think, why? What's wrong with them? They have disease. And the only problem is you haven't washed your feet in forever. No wonder Jesus washed the feet of the disciples. You and I, youth, where that came from. It's biblical, though, I'm sure it is. See, it is the spirit of this conference comes from every day, every day, every day. When you leave here tonight, guess what our church will do tomorrow? Our church tomorrow morning will have a bus meeting at 10 o'clock. Tomorrow morning we'll have soul winning at 10:30. And because you've been here and trashed the place at 12:30, we got to meet here and eat the leftovers. Thank God you didn't eat as much this year. I'm going to have a taco feast tomorrow. I am excited about it. I'm going to fast the rest of the day because I'm going to the taco meet tomorrow, and I'm going to thank God that you didn't like it, or you went to the mall and you ate Chick-fil-A, and I'm mad still that you didn't invite me to go to Chick-fil-A. But we're going to eat and we're going to and laugh and enjoy the good times and all that. And then after that, we got to clean the place up because you trashed it. Huh? And this is what we're going to do. Next week, we're going to come to your church and deliver the trash back to you. Amen? See, you and I, some of you, you're going to do the same thing. See, some of you, you're going to get back to your church and you're going to be really tired tomorrow. But you know what time bus meeting starts, and you know what time soul winning is. And some of you are going to have enough to you. You're going to get up and you're going to go, because that is what makes a conference like this, is that you do it every day. I said you do it every day. You don't do it every once in a while. You do it every day, every day, every day, every day, every day, every day, every day. Let me ask you a question. Have you blessed God today? Let me ask you a question. Have you praised God today? Amen. Today. Today. I'm saying today, see, I don't know about you. I long for every day. Who are you texting? I'm sorry. Are you really? Let me see what you wrote. I love. Oh, Breedlove. Breedlove. I'm sorry. Okay. Got it. Got it. Got it. See, I long for every day. See, most of my life is lived in the everyday. And you know what? Most of your life is lived in the everyday. But some of you, you don't get it. Some of you live bored. You're bored with everyday. Not me. I love everyday. I was sitting out a little earlier talking with my wife just because I like talking to my wife. And second of all, because she said so. So we were sitting and talking. See, when we have this kind of meeting, and I know Brother Gray knows this feel, you just fight for a minute or two together. We sat out in the car today like we were parking. And I was parking the car is all I meant to do. So we're just sitting there and talking and thinking, what a good time, what a great God. And I was telling her, she said, what are you preaching this morning? I said, it's boring. I said, it's really boring. I said, every day, every day. When I go on vacation, I like going on vacation, but I can't wait to get off of vacation. My family knows. I'll tell them this. Well, we'll pull over someplace on the way home. Well, we may if I get too tired in a rest area for a little bit, and I'm going to wake back up and crank that thing, and we're going on down the road, because I want to get back to every day, every day, every day. You know what? When God stirred my heart about coming to Central Florida, I came down to this area, and my heart was moved about it, and I thought, this is the thing to do. But you know what? I wasn't going to make that decision because it wasn't every day. I waited till I got back to the Forest Hills Baptist Church, and I waited till I got back to my everyday reading, and I got in the Bible, and I wanted God to convince me on an every day I was about to give my life to something, because I was going to be living my life every day in another place that I didn't dream of going outside of listening to God. It's every day. I said it's every day. It is every day. It is every day. See, we must make every day. And understand, we sing. I was thinking about this. We sing and we don't pay attention to what we sing. We sing, this is the, which the hath, we will what? How you doing? How you doing just that? Just rejoicing. You know what rejoice means? You're right here and you go back and revisit what was joyful before. Don't misunderstand what I'm about to say, but I get saved almost every day. Now, I can't get saved every day, and you can't get saved every day. And I know when I talk to somebody and they say they've done that every day, they do it every day, then I know they're not saved. I know they need to get saved on one day, because that's how you get saved, on one day. My wife and I don't get married every day, but in a sense, we do get married every day, because I still rejoice with the wife of thy youth. I have a picture of my wife in my drawer. I pick it out and look at it sometimes. My wife used to wear a pink outfit. I see her pushing the gate closed as I was backing out of the drive. And I go back and live that almost every day. I go back into the Grand Canyon. I've got a picture of the Grand Canyon that I look at almost every day. And understand, God saved me, and I'm not getting over that thing. And I'm staying true to God, because God is the one who saved me. You know what? I've met a lot of people in life, but if I don't ever get to talk to any of those people, the rest of my life, guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to be grateful that I am born again and on my way to heaven. It may get down to me and God again, but I'm going to tell you what, that's exactly how it started. It was me and God. Check it out if you don't believe me. There's no churches in the bottom of the Grand Canyon. There's hardly any people in the bottom of the Grand Canyon. But I'm going to tell you what, God is in the bottom of the Grand Canyon. And thank God, our good deacon right here, Brother Price, he sings, when he reached way down for me. Oh, and I sit there and think, boy, he reached way down for me. And thank God he reached down. This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will. Joy. I'm going back and say, boy, I got saved. I'm born again. I'm on my way to heaven. I'm not going to hell. Man, I don't have all those burdens anymore. My sins have been washed, but Jesus looks at me. God the Father looks at me through Jesus Christ. And man, I am alive. I have eternal life. As long as God is going to live, I am going to live. I'm a forgiven child of a living God. And thank God he is a living God. Amen. Oh, I serve a risen Savior. Amen. Aren't you glad for that? You got to, this is the day which the Lord hath made. Well, what kind of day do you think a great God would make? Amen. Isn't it weird? You live average and I live great days every day. Because you just don't get it. You just don't get it. You just don't get it. See, you think you'd rather hear the sermon at youth conference than you would the one that's going to come Sunday morning. And the honest truth is, you need the one Sunday morning more than you need this one. Or you won't get to this one unless you go to the next Sunday morning and hear it again. When I went to the Forest Hills Baptist Church, I grew up in Methodist, and you just went to church on Sunday. And when you walked in, you had to be real quiet because God was really sick or God was dying or something. You had to be quiet in there. I went to Baptist Church and they were actually talking to each other. I thought, this is weird. What is wrong with these people? And I'd never seen a preacher start preaching to get all excited. My preacher's here, preach on the side of my mouth like that, and a vein would pop out. I never seen anything like that. Just never seen anything like that. And while they were preaching, these people kept interrupting. They interrupted. They said, Aaron! We took a bunch of teenagers one time. We were coming to your teen convention years ago, and we went to a church, and we were sitting in the back a little bit because we got there a little late, and one of our guys said, Amen! Can I tell you that amen is still traveling around the walls in that church? They'd never heard one of that. I can still see the lady who had to go to the chiropractor the next day. She was Lot's wife. She was, she had trouble. See, I had never been to anything like that. I knew I was going to go that Sunday morning. But when the guy said, I asked the guy after church service, I said, this man mad like that all the time. Oh, that's nothing. You want to see him mad, come back tonight. I do. I want to see him get mad. Ain't no way he's going to stay alive if he's about to die this morning. And he gets really mad. I went back that night. He was mad, man. He pitched a Holy Ghost fit, talked about soul winning. You ain't right with God. You need to get out there and keep people safe. You ought to live the Spirit-filled life. And that veins were popping every which way. I thought, he's going to explode right here. But you know what? I'd been lost. I'd never heard the Bible taught. And I loved hearing the Bible taught. And I went back on a Wednesday to hear it taught again. And I went back the next Sunday morning to hear it again. And I went back the next Sunday night to hear it again. And I went back the next Wednesday night to hear it again. And I just kept going the next service and the next service and the next service. And you know what? Some of you have been away from God. All you got to do is get back up tomorrow and just start doing it every day. Just every day. Just go to church this Sunday. Don't worry about going to church the rest of your life. Just go to church this next church service. Amen. That's all you got to do. You just do it every day. Every day. And you'll find out that a great God makes great days. Amen. Come with me, if you would, to Psalm number 100. I like this. I get up in the morning. I start thinking about God and get around, digging around this book right here. And I sneeze a lot, getting the dust off of it, but it's okay. I still want to read it. I get to Psalm number 100. And verse one, number one says, make a joyful, say it with me, noise all under the Lord, all your lands. I like this verse number two. Serve the Lord with. You ever been asked to do anything? How'd you respond? Who do they think they are? Bossing us teenagers around all the time. Who in the world do they think they are? That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says serve the Lord with gladness. Gladness. Serve the Lord with gladness. You know what the Bible says? It says, come before his presence with singing. Oh, you know what? You would flip out if you came over here early in the morning. First of all, you'd flip out that you were up that early doing something other than what you normally do. But you came over to watch Brother Breedlove in the morning. Boy, you'd be, what is wrong with that guy? Well, I get in there and I start singing. Oh, I'll sing some of the verses we'll sing in church service. But I'm singing them to God. Unto thee, O Lord. And I'll reach through, I lift up my soul unto thee, O Lord. Oh, I get by the window and I got the blinds open. I start saying, great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. Oh, then I get a little personal. Great are you, Lord, and greatly to be praised. Oh, I get to singing. Next thing you know, I start to blubbering a little bit. And I get kind of overwhelmed with the goodness of God. And I do this every once in a while. Don't come over here early in the morning. You get killed. I get in the hallways and I just start running around going, wow, what a great God we serve. Wow, what a great God we serve. I was sitting here one morning and my daughter used to have a horse and she'd come over about 6 or 6:30. I was back there reading my Bible about 5 o'clock. I heard the door over here at our little office open and I thought, well, that's okay. I didn't pay attention to the time. I thought she's over here. Every once in a while we're missing something. She'll come by and pick something up. And I thought, okay, all right, okay. But I heard the door do it again. And then I looked up and saw what time it was. I thought, it is not my daughter at 5 o'clock in the morning. That ain't happening. I just won't see that. But then I thought, well, you know what? I'm too stinking lazy to get up out of this chair and leave this Bible. I'm going to just stay here. The next thing I know, I could feel the presence of somebody coming down the hall in our building. Oh, Brother Gray, I'll never tell you. You talk about, I got a lot of hair, and boy, every one of them stood at attention. I mean, they were saluting each other. That's how attention they were. I sat in that chair, and I could feel that presence. And you always wonder what would happen if you ever faced death. You know what I thought of? The first thing I thought of was, prepare to meet thy maker. You know what I thought of next? I thought, what time I'm afraid, I will trust in thee. Could I tell you, when I thought that second verse, my hair went at ease. And laid back down. A fellow, I could see this part of his body. 5 o'clock in the morning, said, oh, excuse me. Oh, excuse me, 5 o'clock in the morning? You ain't got no key to this building? I paused for a minute. You know, I learned a long time ago, you be quick, but you don't hurry. If you hurry, it's always stressful. So I didn't hurry. I sat there for a second, counted for about 10 seconds. One. One and one tenth. One and one tenth plus a half a tenth. I counted 10. And I don't know what happened to me. I went from the most, to I thought, bless God, what in the world is somebody doing in this building at 7 in the morning? Who in the world's in our building? What are they doing? I got up and I started running down the hall. I ran away. I popped the door open out front and couldn't find the guy. There's some guy in this building. I'm finding that guy. I went running down this hall. And I went back there and I kicked that door back open. That back door goes flying open. I could see a guy up on a bicycle up the hill. I ran up the ramp right there, and I was watching that guy, and he knew it. Don't mess with this guy. He better have a gun if he's going to come back in that building this time. He made the vamoosh up the hall, up the road there, and later the policeman caught him. And we got unusual police. They came them. They said, "Hey, well, we caught the fella," and I said, "Good." He said, "But he just said he just stopped by to get a drink of water." By that time, I'd come in the building. We have a jug back there that the people put dollar bills in and such for our bus ministry. And I went in and found out that was missing. The money was gone. Now, don't worry about it. It might have been $5 or $50, maybe the most has ever been in there. But I said, "You know what, sir? That man stole some money." "Oh, you want to have him arrested? Are you kidding me? You need me to go arrest him? I can make a citizen's arrest." He went, and finally they arrested him, and he called back and said, we think he's retarded. He said, because when we put him in a car, he started screaming for his mom. "Oh, mama, 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 mama." That's not retardation. I've done that a lot of time. Amen. You ever get in trouble, start screaming for your mama? "Mama, mama, 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 mama." You ever say, "I'm going to tell my mama"? Huh? You ever do anything like that? Long story short, we lived through that thing. Listen to me today. You want to get up and understand. You start singing to God. Oh, we'll get ready in this group right here to sing, won't we? But how you do when you get before God? When's the last time God heard you sing? Amen. See, that's why God says God loves a joyful noise. About you, God lets me talk to him every day. Do you understand that? I say God. Now, some of you, God's just a word. But to some of us, God is God. Amen. God is God. It's quite humbling. God. 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 He says in verse number 3, "Know ye not that the Lord, he is God. It is he, it is God that hath made us." You and I, we strut around like sometimes like we know something. Every once in a while, I'm preaching and something comes out of my mouth. I thought, that ain't in the notes. Where'd it come from? Every once in a while I give some advice and I think, where in the world did that come from? I don't even know that. It's not us, it's God. Amen. All I am and all you are, if you'd ever own up to it, is just a collection of other people. Man, I got some stubborn, some drive in me that I got from my mom. My mom is 92 years old and you don't want to mess with my mom. I still feel like a little 3-year-old boy when I'm talking to my mom. Yeah, okay, mom. I love you, mom. Scared of my mom. My mom shouldn't be walking. My mom one time had 106 temperature for one solid week. She was in a hospital and they have to keep putting cold wraps on her. You die from that kind of stuff. You die from that stuff almost overnight. And somehow that little lady lived. That little lady's been through cancer. That little lady's been through spinal meningitis. But you know what? Death's scared of her. Huh? The death angel goes by her. She doesn't even need the blood. She just, "You better not come over here." See, we're made. I was here preaching one time. My preacher came, the only time he was able to, just before he died. And he came here with Bill Burr. I didn't know this. Bill Burr, I'd never met Bill Burr. I sat by him in a meeting one time. He used to be an evangelist, traveled around and sang a lot. And I taught him how to sing. But thank God he got another lesson. But he came in and I taught Sunday school that morning. And then my preacher preached the service that was always up to that morning. And then that night, after it was over, Brother Burr came up and said, "You ever one of Dr. Husson's preacher boys?" I said, "Yeah." I said, "How'd you know that?" "Just watching you. Just watching you. I don't even know what I do like Dr. Husson. I turned 40 last year. Maybe the year before. When I turned 40, my church got together, and they put all this kind of program. Every illustration I'd give 3,000 times, and they knew better than me. They put a board up behind the pulpit. We used to have a tent out here. That's how we started on this property. We had a circus tent. And we're going back. But they had on a board behind the little platform area where the pulpit was, they had every little saying I'd say. I say, good night, a living. Man alive. I didn't know it. I didn't know it. Brother Graham, I remember a year or two ago, you said something, you went to some church and every... something they did, they taped it and they played it. And you, when you went up to preach, every time you did something like that, it's like paralyzed. Every time I said when I was preaching in a service, good night, live, I'd stop. When I go and meant, I'd stop. I could hardly preach. I was a basket case before that service was over, trying to dodge all those words I always say. But you know what? I guess I invented some more new words while I was saying that. See, today, you and I, we're just a collection of other people. Your brother came to our house one time to eat, and we're sitting there talking, and I'll never forget, he said, that's funny. I do not know how many times I've said, that's funny. But I heard somebody in our church the other say, that's funny. And I thought, that's all we are, is a collection of other people. You try to act like you're the original. The God is the original, amen? And you and I, we're influenced by so many other people, and that's why you walk with wise men. Why? Because you need to, it'll rub off on you. Listen to me. Verse 4 says, enter into his gates with what? When's the last time you just went to God and said, thank you? Isn't it weird our nature makes us where I had to train every one of my kids to say thank you? And I don't think I'm done yet. I work at it. I work at it. I work it. I think about it. And now I work at trying to make sure I say thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Not you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for wearing that outfit today, fellas. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. When's the last time you just stood before God for a little bit? I wish you knew God was real. I wish you knew God wants to meet with you and you meet with him and understand he is alive. The Bible tells us we're to meditate on him day and night. You know what happens when you do that? You get planted. We need to, years ago, I read a book about, I can't remember the title, but in the book it's talking about thinking. And it said the next time you go in a store, stop and think about what it costs just to have that store going. I do that now. I go to Sam's Club and I just sit there and eat pizza and think. I wish I had waitresses. Could you just bring me another pizza? We were at a Wendy's one time. I don't know what happened. You know how everybody does refills of the drinks and all that kind of stuff. And life just got the best of me. I walked up and I said, ma'am, I said, do you do refills of fries? The lady thought that was the funniest thing in the world. She said, you know, for you I do. Huh? She was checking me out. Are you like this? You ever go to the food mall? About the only time I go to the mall is Christmas. And then I don't even know what I'm doing there. All I am is financing the trip. That's all I do. But when I go to the mall, I don't know what the mall is for you. The mall to me is food court. And it's nothing better to be at food court during Christmas season when they're all standing out there with a little toothpick and the chicken, huh? I don't know how you are. I take laps. Thank you. I don't know how you are. I'm more Chick-fil-A than any of them. So every once in a while, instead of going around the whole lap, I cut through and go back to Chick-fil-A again. And now every once in a while, when you're taking some, you know, they're like, they know you've been there five times. So I do this. I go, well, let me act like I'll go over to the counter. No, I don't want anything. And I go back down. See, you and I, we ought to get where we hang around God and understand God, and we think about what it takes. You know what? It takes money to have lights on. It takes money for your preacher to have the insurance paid. It takes money for all those things. And you and I, we just never think. Think. Started thinking the other day. I got depressed. I started thinking about somebody. My wife said, well, you know, we're about to pay for our last kid, last year of one of our kids in Christian school. Oh, pray. And then I started thinking about, I wonder how much money I've spent. I went up over $100,000. I thought, you know what? They could have been dumb and derelict. Who cares? I wish I had $100,000. They can overcome that on their own, right? You know what the Bible tells us in the Lord's teaching on prayer? He said, give us this. When was the last time you asked God for bread? Don't even play games with me. You don't know what it means to pray for bread. I tell you, one of the best things that happened to us, our church got clobbered financially. Clobbered. I'm talking about we lost 85% of our offerings. I'm talking about we had to sell everything. I'm talking about we showed up one day and our furniture is all over this building. I'm talking about we had no place to live. I'm talking about looking at my two deacons and saying, what do we do? What do you want me to do? And they were as paralyzed as I, because the same stuff was happening to them. We had zero in the Christian school budget. We had zero in the church budget. And I'd go home. I didn't want to go home because there was another zero at the house. We preached. I had all my stuff was in this building. I mean, everywhere. Everywhere. We had some dividers. We stuffed our furniture in the back. We had a refrigerator right where that elephant is. Don't you like that elephant? You notice a little mouse up there? But you know the best thing ever that happened? I had to learn to pray for bread. Bread. Can I tell you, God answers prayer? But you find that out by getting the snot knocked out of you every once in a while, and you need it. So up in the air in our lives that we don't need God anymore, and you do need God. Today, you know, Jesus said, I am the, God said, I am the I am. This is, God is a this day God. Listen to me, on the Mount of Transfiguration, Peter wanted to stay put, didn't he? I don't know about you, every once in a while, I just want to stay put with what God does in meetings like this. But then we got to go out there to that creepy old world, don't we? And God, that's what Jesus said, fellas, we can't stay up here. We got to go down there to the everyday. Everyday in the valley. And everyday where they're rushing at you with another problem and another trouble and another trouble and another trouble. See, we need to see Jesus every day, not just on the mountaintop. You need to find out God's alive tomorrow. You need to find that God's okay on Monday too, do you not? You need to, this day, every day, every day, every day. See, too many people are bored with every day. See, the world lives not for every day. The world lives for what? The weekends. That's the highlight. And they found out Friday wasn't enough, and they found out Saturday wasn't enough, that they pushed God out of Sunday, and they're finding out Sunday's not enough either. And now people don't even want to go to work. Work's a boring thing because they want to get to where you party and everything's great and all that stuff. Hey, friend, everything's great every day. Amen. I said every day, and you and I need to get back to every day. You know what Jesus did on this earth? He took 12 men and said, follow me. How often do you think they followed him? Every day. We've taken team trips in the past, and we've rented a chalet up in the mountains in Gatlinburg area, and we get there. And you know what? Those teenagers, they see me every day. Every day. Every day. Listen to me. I don't know how you are. I wear that shirt right there. Every day. I wear those swishy pants right there every day. I can't wait for you to leave town where I can get back in this outfit right here and be happy again, huh? See, there's a part of my day that's spent right there. It's every day. I wear these tennis shoes right here. I wear them every day, every day, every day. You know what? If you lived in this area right here, people have seen this coat every day, every day. Paul Bear Bryant was known for his hat. I'm known for this coat right here. I don't have to hang this coat up. Sometimes it'll stand up by itself because I've worn it so much. But you know what? They know it because he's out there every day, 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 every day. People, teenagers have watched me every day. They got around me in the morning and they found out what he's like every day. They met me at lunchtime and they found out what he's like every day. They met me at supper time and they found out what he's like every day. They put me on a slide going down the side of the mountain and they found out what he's like there. you put me on a roller coaster, I'll have more fun than you will. Why? I got my hands up. Woo! We're screaming going down that thing. Everybody can hear me. And some of you are. People in my church, they don't even ride roller coasters. I'm not sure they've got religion, to be honest with you. I'm nervous about it. Listen to me. What are you going to do every day? Every day. Isn't it weird we sing every day with Jesus is sweeter than the day before? But you don't believe it. Because yesterday wasn't good. Every day with Jesus, I love him more and more. If you get one word in your brain from this preacher when you leave, it's every day. Amen. You read that Bible every day. Amen. When you're brokenhearted, read that book. Yes. When you're happy, read that book. Yes. Huh? When you're depressed, read that book. When you're discouraged, read that book. That's what your mom and dad are doing. That's what your preachers are doing. You know what I understood on Wednesday night? There was churches back home praying for this meeting right here. You know, our church has been praying for your church by name. And I've asked my people, will you find out some of the names of teenagers and you start praying for them during the week? Somebody's been praying for you by name this week. And you know what? How often they've been doing it? Every day. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Father in heaven, thank you that you love us. Thank you, dear God, that you're always there for me every day. And living God, we pray that you would help us, help us, help us, help us. Teenager, while you're there, just what are you going to do every day? What are you going to do with God every day? Every day, every day, every day, every day. You're going to do some things every day, every day. But what are you going to do with God every day? Father in heaven, bless us. Work here in our hearts and our lives. For we ask it now in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together if you would. Stretch your legs out real good. Sing with me. Great and mighty is our Lord our God. Great